Hello and welcome to Birth as We Know It. I am your podcast host, Kiona Nessenbaum. I have experienced birth as a doula, a student midwife, and as a mother of three amazing children with my husband and high school sweetheart by my side. After attending over 130 births, including my own, I've realized that each birth experience is truly unique. So make sure you subscribe and join me every week as we are guided through many different birth experiences through the lens of the storyteller. Please be aware that some of the stories can be triggering to hear, so feel free to pause, take a breath, and come back and listen whenever you're ready. With that said, let's prep ourselves to dive deep and get detailed about what really happens in the birth space. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and has no intention of giving or replacing any medical advice. All advice that is given on the podcast is from the personal experiences of the storytellers. All medical or health-related questions should be directed to your licensed provider. Before we dive into this episode, I want to give a special shout out to my sister, Monet. Monet, thank you for being my second patron/member on my Patreon page. You have been super supportive of this podcast since day one, and by being a member of the Baki community, you are making it possible for me to continue to educate people through storytelling. I truly appreciate it, and I thank you. Time to dive into the episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Birth as We Know It podcast. I'm super excited today to be interviewing an old friend, and her name is Darian Steady. Darian and I actually grew up somewhat together for part of our childhood. We played basketball together third through eighth grade, I think. So, it was awesome. We had many years. We also just saw each other again last weekend for our coaches. Second surprise birthday. I think he's 85 now.
I thought he was 86, but it could
maybe
be
86.
Yeah. Somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there. But yes, welcome, Darian. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
Yeah, I'm super excited to dive into just like your pregnancies and births. I know that when you were pregnant with your second, I was also pregnant with my third. And yeah. So we were just chatting back and forth and you know, comparing like where we were at with our symptoms and how we were feeling. And
yeah, that was so fun. I really enjoyed that. I really liked that. Being able to bounce ideas off of you and be like, oh my gosh, this is my second. And it feels so different than your first. And so I was like, right. Is this normal? Like, oh my right. gosh.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yes, yes, yes. So before we go diving into your pregnancies, mm-hmm. just tell us a little bit about yourself and who's in your family.
Okay. So as you already said, my name is Darian Steady. I am currently 30, going to be 31 this year. Me and my husband have been together for 11 years come September, which is crazy to me that we've been together that long because it seems like just yesterday. We have two beautiful children, Kira, who is our oldest. She is 5. And then Owen, who's 2, which now we have no babies, which makes me sad, but that's okay. Happy family of 4. Nice. And of course we have a fur baby. His name's Marley and he is, oh gosh, he's 4. He's right in between Kira and Owen. It's funny.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Awesome. And so as you know, when you found out you were pregnant the first time, tell me about all of your feels and emotions and reactions and all the things.
So like I had just gotten off birth control. I had been on it since I was 14, had just gotten off of it. I was 24 when I got off of it. And then they were like, oh, it'll take you a while to get pregnant because you've been on it for a while. I was like, cool. Okay. Me and my husband were planning on getting married in like October. So I was like, oh, it's fine. Like we got time. No. We got pregnant in August. Then found out like a week before we got married that we were pregnant. It was definitely like, oh my gosh, that happened way sooner than we thought it would. And I didn't get a bachelorette party because I was pregnant. Because I took a test right before, like, all my girlfriends were supposed to come over. And I was like, oh, you know, can never be too careful. I mean, we weren't using protection. And So I took one and it came back positive, and my fiance at the time was not home. We were in Ellensburg, and I called him and I was like, "When are you coming home?" And he's like, "Oh, I didn't plan on coming home till tomorrow." And I'm like, "You need to come home tonight." He's like, "What?" And I just like took a Snapchat of me holding the test up by my head, and he's like, "Oh my gosh, no way." He's like, "I'm in the car. I'm already coming." And so like he just drove home back to Ellensburg, and it was really sweet and scary. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, are we gonna tell our families before we get married or after we get married? Like, what's the plan?" So that was a little nerve-wracking, because I mean, my family is not super conventional in the whole like marriage first then babies, but his is. And so it was like a we messed up. So my family was super stoked. I mean, my sisters came to my bachelorette party, so they found out at my bachelorette party. And then of course my mom found out too, because she has to know. And then I don't think we told his family until after we were married. So
You'd be like, "And
yeah.
surprise, guess what?"
Yeah. Yeah, so I made these little cards, and it was like one of those scratched things. And under it said, "We are pregnant." I had some like cute little pun. I cannot remember what it was. But I had one for every grandparent, and it was different for every single one of them. And so they just scratched it off, and underneath it said, like, "We're pregnant." And so we took that to his parents' house, and that's how they found out that they were going to be grandparents for the first time.
Oh, nice. How was that for
Yeah.
them when they found out?
I believe they were excited. My family was ecstatic. Of course, my mom was like, "Oh, I already knew."
Of course.
I was like, "Oh, yeah, you totally did, Mom. Way before I did." Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. I think that that's really cool, actually, because you having that kind of private moment with Will first, like through your Snapchat, like, "Hey, time to come
Yeah,
home." That's
I
exciting.
know. I wish he would have been home. Like I wish I could have waited till he got home. Like I was just so excited, and I'm not good at keeping secrets. I never have been. And so I couldn't wait. I would have just like told everyone before he got there if he wouldn't have gotten home first.
And then he would have heard it from someone else first, and he'd be like, "Wait, what? What
Yeah.
the heck?"
What? Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
That is
yeah.
funny.
It
Well,
was
good. I guess
great.
that kind of goes, it answers my second question that I usually ask, which was, "Were you trying to get pregnant?" Sounds like she was a little bit of a surprise, like open to the
Yeah.
idea, and then, but just a little sooner than expected.
Yeah, so when we did the math, we actually figured out exactly when we got pregnant, which was the first time we tried, or the first time we had unprotected sex. And I was actually at the end of my period. I was still bleeding a little bit, and they tell you, "Oh, you shouldn't be able to get pregnant." Like, that's a lie. Lie. Yep, and there she is. So, but I did also didn't know that sperm lives into your body for like 7 to 10 days after, so it could have happened like in that 7 to 10 day window.
The most recent research that I've read says 5 days.
Oh, cool. Okay. Even
But I
shorter.
mean,
Love it.
even then, it's like, geez, like you thought that it was just like when the action was happening, not when,
I
it
know.
just sits afterwards. Like, cool, I'm just hanging on to all this,
Yeah, no kidding.
Great.
Yeah.
And so tell me, like, with your pregnancy with Kira, did you have any like really intense symptoms or anything? Like, how was that?
My pregnancy with her was a breeze. I couldn't brush my tongue with my electric toothbrush. When I br be brushing my teeth, if it touched my tongue at all, I'd gag and then I'd just throw up instantly. So I just stopped using my electric toothbrush the whole time I was pregnant with her and just used a manual, just kicked it old school. And then, oh, I had so many cravings when I was pregnant with her compared to my second one. I lived off of French fries, which is not the healthiest, but I was also in college, so it kind of worked out. I ate French fries and grilled cheese sandwiches dipped in spaghetti sauce, tastes like pizza, by the way, delicious. And then mushrooms, which I never liked mushrooms, but sauteed mushrooms with garlic salt, super good. Oh, nacho cheese Doritos dipped in that cheesecake queso stuff that you just know is clogging your arteries when you're eating it, but you're like, I can't get enough. Like, it's so bad.
Just
But
cheese with extra cheese.
so much cheese and milk. I drank so much milk when I was pregnant with her, which is weird because I'm lactose intolerant when I'm not pregnant. But as soon as I get pregnant, I can eat all the dairy. And it does not mess with my system at all. It's so nice. It's
Our bodies are
crazy.
something else, huh?
I
Jeez.
know. Yeah. So that's pretty much what that little one was made of. And that's all she likes to eat. So works out.
Perfect. Perfect. That sounds like perfection.
It wasn't till the end of my pregnancy. Like, I mean, first baby, they try to explain to you like how it's gonna feel when you start having contractions. And I remember I had like when I got my first Braxton Hicks, I was like so freaked out, and like I called labor and delivery, and I was like, "Mom, this is what's happening." And they're like, "Okay, we'll just like take a deep breath and like put your feet up, like get a drink of water." And I was like, "Okay." And then they went away, and I was just like, "Oh my Lanta, I was not expecting that." And then, yeah, I feel like my contractions started really early, and then I had lightning crotch. So, I mean, that's what I always called it. I had that pretty early on with her, and it was so uncomfortable, and nothing I did like helped. But I walked everywhere because I was in college, so I walked all over campus, had to park super far away. It was my last quarter of my bachelor's degree, and then so I walked everywhere when I was pregnant with her, which is probably why the French fries and the grilled cheese sandwiches and stuff didn't really stick. I
You
needed
were
more
moving.
all the time. Yeah, yeah, and she was moving. She moved so much when I was pregnant with her, just rolling and kicking. I remember the first time she kicked me, it scared me. Like, I mean, I had felt her like twirling and all that good stuff, but like the first real, like, oh my gosh, you could see it like coming out of my belly kick. I was at work and she kicked me, and I worked at a learning center at the time, and I like braced myself on the table and was like, oh my God. All the kids just looked at me. They're like, are you okay, Miss Darian? And I was like, yes, I'm fine. And they're like, what happened? And I was like, the baby just kicked me. Like, everything's fine. She just scared me. Oh my gosh. That poor kids. I probably like gave them a heart attack. It totally caught me off guard, though. I was just like in the zone, not expecting to get jabbed.
Goodness. Oh man. And it's such an alien feeling, because they're
It
just like
is.
creatures crawling within your skin.
I know. Yeah, she used to make me nauseous sometimes with her flips. Like, 'cause she'd be doing them so much that just all of a sudden I would just start getting really nauseous, and I'm just like, "Oh, she's flipping again." And it was funny when I was pregnant, if I didn't get to bed, oh gosh, was it like 9? If I didn't get to bed by 9, she was up from like 9:30, 10 to like 2 in the morning, kicking and moving and squirming and all. Oh my gosh. And so I would be awake till 2 in the morning if I did not get to sleep before 9:30. And so that was like my bedtime every single night, or else I wouldn't get to sleep. And it was not fun.
Gosh, that probably got more intense like the further along in your pregnancy you got because her movements were so much bigger, like you couldn't sleep through them anymore.
No, yeah, nope. And my pregnancy pillow was my friend. I clinged onto that, like, oh my gosh, even after my pregnancy, I was like, we can never get rid of this pillow. It is so comfortable. My husband's like, well, then it's gonna have to get its own bed because it's taken up like our whole bed. I was like, fine.
Oh, the pregnancy pillows. They are the best. Yeah, I remember having a full-length body pillow in college. I wasn't pregnant or anything yet. But I named it Ross because I got it from Ross.
Oh, cute.
And whenever I would lay with that in the same bed as my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, he'd be like, Ross needs to get the heck out of here. Like, this pillow is
That's
ridiculous. It's taking up so
hilarious.
much space. And it's just funny because it had a name, you know? So,
Yeah, I
anyways, just
love
going
it.
on a tangent there.
Right?
Yeah, so tell me more about like later into your pregnancy, like how it felt, and like were there any specific things that indicated that you were starting labor?
Well, heartburn. Heartburn started later. I mean, I had it. I probably didn't get it till like my second trimester, and then it just progressed and got so much worse. Towards the end of my pregnancy, I was sitting up to sleep, and it was like going all through my chest and like into my back. Like it was so bad. I had never had heartburn that bad in my life. The only thing that helped was Pepcid. That's the only thing that would help me, and it would just barely take the edge off so I could go to sleep. And then I was at one of my classes for my degree, and I went to the bathroom, and when I wiped, this huge glob of mucus like came out, and I was like, oh my gosh. And I like called my mom and I took a picture of it. I was like, Mom, check your messages. I think part of my plug just came out. And she's like, yeah, it'll probably keep coming. And I was just like, oh my gosh, it's like a booger. And she's like, yeah, that's pretty much what it looks like. I was like, gross. And so I continued to lose that because I didn't know, like, once you lost it, like, sometimes it just regenerates or something, or there's just like a lot of it. And so I continued to lose it over the course of like a week or two. And then she was so low towards the end of our pregnancy. So it was Mother's Day. Will's gonna kill me for saying this, but it's fine. It was Mother's Day, and I got up, went pee, came back to bed, and we were very intimate, and I felt like a gush, and I was like, whoa, 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 wait, wait, wait. I was like, that wasn't me. I was like, was that you? And he goes, no, that wasn't me. And I was like, did my water just break? I was like, what? What is that? And he's like, I don't know. Did you get all the pee out? And I was like, I think I did. I mean, like I sat on the toilet for a while. Like I didn't just pee on you. And so, like, I got up. I looked at the bed. It was like on the bed. Like obviously that killed the moment. It was over. part ways. And then I just kind of like hung out and evaluated my body. That was at 37 weeks that this happened, like on the dot. And then I started having contractions. It felt almost more like Braxton Hicks at that point. So I called labor and delivery in Wenatchee because I was in Ellensburg continuing my degree. And I was right at the end. And I called Wenatchee and they're like, well, you can just go to Ellensburg, pop in, they can swab you, see if it's amniotic fluid or what. And I was like, oh, okay. So I just pop in there real quick. And the lady's like, well, if it's positive for amniotic fluid, like we cannot let you leave, is what they told me, that you'll have to stay here and deliver your baby. And I was like, no, I've heard horror stories about this hospital and I refuse to have my child here. I was like, where's the paper? Because I'm walking out of here. And before I left, they had checked the baby. Her heart rate and everything sounded wonderful. They had not swabbed me yet. Like, my blood pressure was great. And so I called Will because he had gone back home to make breakfast because it was right down the road from our house, our apartment at the time. And so I called him. I was like, get in the car, bring breakfast. We're driving to Wenatchee. He's like, okay. So he came, picked me up. We went to Wenatchee. They swabbed me. It was negative. So then we just went back home. But like that whole week from 37 weeks to 38 weeks was horrible. Like she was so low that I felt like I was sitting on her head. Like I spent most of my time on a yoga ball because that's the only way I felt comfortable, or I was standing and kind of like swaying back and forth and just like had my hips really wide open. My stance was really wide. Even during my classes, I would stand in the back and where the tables could go really high, and I would just stand there and I'd be taking notes and listening and like participating and all of that. But like, I could not sit down. And I called several times that week because I was having contractions, but they weren't very consistent. Like off and on they would be, and then they would go away. And it was just like, oh my gosh, what is happening? And so then that following Wednesday, so the Wednesday before 38 weeks was my OB appointment. And my plan was to go to my OB appointment, go back to Ellensburg, take my final on Wednesday, one on Thursday, then come back to Wenatchee on Friday, and then be there for the rest of the time to have this baby. Cause it was only a week before, or like 2 weeks or whatever. And nope, she had different plans for us. I got to the OB's office and he checked my cervix and he's like, nope, sorry, you can't go anywhere. Like you have to stay in town. And I was like, what? It was literally the first time that I had never brought my to-go bag. So we didn't have her car seat. I didn't have her diaper bag. I didn't have anything. Cause I was like, I'm not staying here. Like I'm going home and then I'll come back. So that was fun. My mom and I took a little road trip and went and got all my stuff and then came back. But it was like, I remember during that time before my OB appointment, I was actually on my way to my OB appointment and I got stuck like halfway in between Ellensburg and Wenatchee, because when I'd sit down, I would have such bad contractions and like it hurt so bad that like I could not sit down. And I was driving by myself and I'm like, this is horrible. Like, so I got out of the car like halfway to Wenatchee and I was like walking around the car, just like trying to get comfortable. And I like called my mom and I was like, hey, can you come get me? She's like, I can't, I'm at work. Like, I can't leave right now. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But I called my sisters, no one could come get me. I called my husband, no one could come get me. And I was just like, well, guess I gotta suck it up and drive my butt to Wenatchee. So of course, at this time I'm like talking to, I always talk to my daughter when I was pregnant. Like we'd just be driving in the car and I'd just be talking to her. Like she really loved Taylor Swift. So every time we play Taylor Swift, she would just go crazy. It was so funny. She still loves Taylor Swift to this day. Yeah. So went and got all of our stuff. And then Will was on a fire. So he's a wildland firefighter. For those of you who did not know, I forgot to mention that. At the time he was. He is no longer, thankfully. And so he was on a fire in some other state, my luck, and was coming home that Friday. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, coming home. And so I got stuck in my mom's house for those few days and we went to the park and we walked around and like, I didn't feel like I was in labor. I mean, I felt motivated to be like, yeah, I'm going to have this baby soon, because he's like, yeah, your cervix is dilated. I'm like, woohoo, baby's down there. Everything was ready to go. I was just waiting at that point. I was like, well, how will I know? I just kept asking, like, because I love to be prepared and I like to know when things are going to happen. And that's just not the case when you're having a baby. Like, the baby does what the baby wants to do. And so I kept asking and everyone was just like, when it happens, you'll know. You'll know. And I'm like, that's not an answer. Like, yeah. What? But it was like 2 o'clock in the morning on Friday. I was laying in bed and it woke me up from a dead sleep, a contraction. And I was just like, oh, and then I rolled to the other side and tried to get comfortable again. And I couldn't get comfortable. And I rolled to the other side. And I just couldn't get comfortable. And I was like, okay, fine. We'll just get up. I'll go for a little walk while Will sleeping. Because I was like, oh, it's probably just Braxton Hicks. I'm not going to wake him up for no reason. And so I like went and bounced on my yoga ball for like an hour. And then I was like, oh. And my mom was up at that time because she wakes up super early for work. And so I called her and I'm like, hey, I know you're at work. Or, oh, she was camping. That's what it was. She went camping. I told her not to go camping that weekend and she still went. So she was camping and I called her and I was like, hey, I think it's time. Like, I can't get comfortable during these contractions. Like, they're not going away. They're definitely getting closer, but I don't think close enough to like go to the hospital. I'm just like, giving you a heads up because you're an hour and a half away. And she was like, oh, you should probably call your OB. And I was like, yeah, I will when they get closer. Like, they're not that close. It's fine. And so I'm just like bouncing. And then I told Will, they started to get very tight. And to the point where when I was bouncing on the ball or and like rotating my hips on it, I had to stop and like remind myself to breathe during the contractions because I started holding my breath. And I was like, yeah, you're supposed to breathe, breathe. And so they started getting closer together. I called or I woke Will up and I was like, hey, I think it's go time. We should like probably get moving here. Like, we're probably gonna head to the hospital in like 30 minutes, 45 minutes. He's a slow mover in the morning, so I figured that would be enough time. So I called my OB and I let him know. And thankfully, he was the doctor on call that day. Well, actually, he wasn't. So Dr. Pitts is who I had at the time, and he's like that old school doctor where he's like, I'm gonna come in for every single one of my patients, no matter what. Like, never took a vacation, like, just was always there. And so he came in for me, and then he's like, yeah, just head in whenever you're ready. I'm here. Cool, sounds great. We were less than 5 minutes from the hospital because we were at my mom's house. And so I felt pretty comfortable just like hanging out and chilling. But then they started getting more painful and more uncomfortable, and it was starting to get into my back, and I couldn't make it feel any better. Like, nothing I was doing was relieving the pain at this point. And so I was like, okay, it's time to go. Like, I'm uncomfortable to the point where I can't stay comfortable here. And Will, my husband, was like, do you want to get in the shower? And I was like, I didn't clean mom's shower. No, I'm not getting in there. Like, I have to clean before I get into like showers and baths, especially if it's at someone else's house. Ah. Anyways, germs. And so I was like, no, I'm not getting into that shower. Like, no. And he's like, okay. Mind you, he's still in bed. He still had not moved.
Oh
30 minutes,
no.
45 minutes later, I was like, it is time to go. Like, I will drive myself there if you are not going to get up. And so then he gets up. We're in my mom had a big fifth wheel camper on her property at the time. So we're sleeping in that. He gets out of the camper, goes into the house, and was in there what felt like an eternity to a woman who's in the car having contractions. I'm like, oh my gosh, what is he doing? I swear, if he's taking a poop, I am going to just like, nah. Later, I found out after the baby was born and everything, he actually went to go get our bag because I left our bag in there for the hospital. I didn't know that. I thought he was just lollygagging, and then he came out and he's like, oh, I had to brush my teeth. That's what he told me. Like, as I was having a contraction, he's like, oh, I had to brush my teeth. And I'm like, really? You had to brush your teeth at the hospital or like not? Pop a piece of gum in, dude. Come on. No one's gonna be smelling your breath. So then, yeah, we show up to the hospital, and I don't like elevators at all. And I took the stairs. I did not want to get in the elevator or the wheelchair, and the people I was like, we walked up the stairs into the emergency or like labor and delivery like place or whatever, and they were like, "Well, do you want a wheelchair?" And I was like, "No." And I was like, "I want to take the stairs." And they're like, "You can't take the stairs." And I was like, "But I want to." They refused to let me take the stairs. So I had to take the elevator. I was like, "If I have to take the elevator, I'm not sitting in a wheelchair. Like, that's just not gonna happen. Like, I get motion sickness. I'm not sitting in a wheelchair." And they're like, "Okay, that's fine. We'll compromise." So they let me get in the elevator without a wheelchair. So I just stood there during my contractions. Will was like bracing me on one side, the nurse was on the other side. I want to say it was like 8, maybe 9 in the
Oh,
morning.
so
So
you've
like,
been laboring for a while. 2 o'clock to about 8 or 9. That's a decent chunk of time.
Yeah, I was just, hanging out on the yoga ball. Then family members started to show up pre-COVID. Which was nice. I still had a lot of back labor. My back labor was horrible. But the nurse that we had was absolutely wonderful, and she showed Will how to do counter pressure on my hips during a contraction, which my husband was like the all-star of that, because without that, I honestly don't know if I could have gotten through those contractions because he wasn't there for one of them. And I ended up throwing up everywhere because it hurt so
Oh
bad. Yeah, that was not fun. There was so much that happened that day. Like, Will had an interview because he was gonna go to nursing school. And so, like, he had an interview on the phone during the time I was laboring. So he's like, I got to take this phone call. And I was like, "What?" And he's like, "Well, I have that interview." And I was like, "Okay, fine. Just go. Hurry up and get it done and come back." So he left, went in the lobby and made this interview. I don't even honestly remember what
okay, I
happened.
was literally like thinking like he's on the phone in the room and he's like, "Sorry, my wife is in labor in the background," and you're like, "Ah," you know.
Oh my gosh. So he left. And then I had like my stepdad was in there, my sister was in there, and my mom had yet not to arrive because she was camping. And so she didn't come when I told her to come at like 2 or 3 in the morning. She waited. And then she's like one of the last people to get there. And so she was upset. And so those three were in there. So they were like switching out, trying to make it better. During the time that he was at his interview, like, I don't remember much. Like, I remember being in a lot of pain, and no one was able to do what my husband was able to do, like, other than the nurse. The nurse was the only one, but I felt so bad repeatedly asking her. And then, like, my stepdad, he's a big guy. Like, when I hug him, he like towers over me like two heads, and he's just like a big teddy bear. And so he's like pushing on my hips, and I'm like, "Harder. You have to do it harder." And he's like, "I feel like I'm gonna break you." And I was like, "No, it's harder." I felt so bad. Everyone's like, "You're gonna have such big bruises on your hips." I was like, "I don't even care. Like, it's the only thing that's making this feel better." And like in between, like I remember the nurse was like rubbing my back, and like I got a popsicle, which I was so stoked about because they wouldn't let me have any food, which really sucked. And so I got a red popsicle. And then once Will came back, I was in the gown and I had a sports bra on and no bottoms. And so once Will got back, I was like, "All right, guys, my clothes are coming off with or without you in here." And so I just like, and so then everyone left. So it was just Will and I at that time. And like, I had taken off my gown. And so I was just in this bright pink sports bra because I was having a girl. Not thinking, "Hey, how am I supposed to take the sports bra off to put the baby on my chest because now I have an IV?" That was not a good choice on my part. I did not think about that whatsoever. And no one even considered, like, "Hey, like maybe not wear that because you can't get it off all the way when you want it off." Well, then the nurse, like, our bed dropped down in the front, and then they put that bar on the bed. And so I just like scooted forward on the bed, had my knees up a little bit, and was just like holding on to the bar and just like sitting there laboring that way. And like Will was like squeezing onto my hips every contraction. He was sitting on the bed behind me. And I remember the nurses like talking to us, and like I had a popsicle every so often, like, and everyone was just like, you're so happy, like you're so chill, and like, I mean, I felt good, like in between, like the contractions weren't bad as long as he was pushing on my back. I remember my lips started to get dry. So when they tell you to bring chapstick, they ain't lying, because I did not bring chapstick. And my lips were so dry from like the nose mouth breathing that I was doing that like the popsicle legit got stuck to my lips. And I was getting ready to have another contraction. And I was like, guys, you gotta take this popsicle, like contraction.
Get it off me.
Yeah. So Will comes and just like pulled it out of my mouth. It hurt so bad, but it's fine. And then I had another contraction. And then I didn't end up having her till like 6. So I was there for a long time, but it didn't really feel like that long. It went by really quick, I feel like. From my perspective, it did. Everyone else was like, wow, this day is really dragging. and then, because they were all stuck in the waiting room at this point, just waiting for us to have a baby. And then I went to the bathroom because I felt like I had to go to the bathroom. And then, of course, I had a contraction while I was on the toilet. And that was the one that Will wasn't in there for. And I ended up throwing up red stuff. It was the popsicle.
From your popsicle.
The nurse is like freaked out at first, and then I was like, wait, I had a red popsicle, the red popsicle. And they were like, oh yeah, yeah. I was just like, oh my gosh, I swear it's not blood. Oh my gosh. Yeah, so that was a little freaky. But my husband came to the save like halfway through my contraction. He like leaned over me, had his head like in my butt crack in the toilet, and was like pushing on my hips. And I was like, how are you not tired? Like, you've been doing this all day. Like, oh my gosh, it was insane. This rock star over here. And then my OB, oh gosh, so I had her at 6. I want to say that I pushed for like an hour. So he came in at like 5 or 4:45 and wanted to check if, because my water hadn't broke, supposedly. So he comes in and he's like, her water hasn't broken, let's break her water, and so we can like move this along. So then he gets that little hook thing. I don't know. It's gross. And he went up there and he hit her head. And he was like, oh. And so he like stops and he's like, let's get the ultrasound machine in here. So he brings the ultrasound machine in, looks at my belly. We had a tiny little bit of amniotic fluid right behind her. And he goes, looks like your water already broke. Well, good day to have a baby.
Wait.
Yeah.
So your water was broken for that whole week?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. So come to find out, after I had her and I did some investigation, because I was like, what in the world? Like, one, that is so scary. Like, we could have lost her. Like, this is on you guys for, like, we came in. We did what we were supposed to. You guys failed us. It turns out the swabby things, it was a bad batch. They had multiple women that read negative when they were actually positive for amniotic fluid during that time.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So we got very lucky that she survived, but it was honestly the worst pushing experience I think I probably could have had, because I had no amniotic fluid. I had nothing like coating. Anything. Yeah. It was dry. It felt like rug burn on the inside of my vagina.
Oh no.
And so like from that point, they were like, okay, you can sit up in labor for a little bit longer. I got to 9, I believe, and my cervix started to swell. And so then my OB goes, okay, you have to lay down on your back. And I was like, no. I have back labor. Like, there's no way. Like, no one will be able to push on my back. Like, I can't do that. That's not possible. No. Something else. I was like, can I turn around? Can I don't even know. Can I stand up? Like, I don't care what has to happen, but like, I can't lay back. He's like, that's the only way that we're going to be able to do this. And I was just like, oh, first baby. I'm like, okay, listen to the doctor, right? Horrible mistake. From that point on, like, I was in excruciating pain. It was like a weird out-of-body experience. Like, I remember like watching myself just be in so much pain. And I was like turning from one side to the other. The nurse was like trying to push on my, like, Will was on one side, the nurse was on the other, pushing on my hips, and it just wasn't enough. They put tennis balls under there to try to help. Nothing was doing it. And then he came it back in. And he's like, okay, it's time to push. And I was like, no. I was like, this hurts so bad. I don't want to do that. Like, that sounds horrible. And they're like, you'll feel better once you start pushing. It'll feel better once you start pushing because that urge to push is there. And I was like, okay. No, it did not feel any better because I was dry. It felt like rug burn. And I was like, I remember cracking a joke while I'm pushing out this baby. I was like, can you just squirt some like saline up there or like something? Give me something. Like, lube her up. Slips out. He refused.
Oh man.
And she was sunny side up. So then they were trying, he was trying to turn her at the same time she was coming down. So, like, honestly, I don't even know how far up he was at this point. Like, Will had a leg. And he was kind of like manning both stations. Like he had my leg and he was also up by my head. I had a nurse over here on my shoulder. And my nurse, which I absolutely loved, she had to go on break for lunch. And I got this lady, I remember her accent. Later, I found out she was Hungarian and she was a beast. I loved her so much because, like, my nurse before was like so sweet and just like showed me so much love and like affection. And like, that's what I felt like I needed, like, during the labor process. But like, when it actually came to delivery, like, I needed this Hungarian lady. She just like whooped me into shape because I was having a hard time holding my breath at the right time and like keeping it during that push. And she's like, in between contractions, she goes, you know, when you go swimming and you take a deep breath, and then you go under the water and you swim, 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 and you come back up and then you take another breath. And I was like, yeah, I don't swim like that. And she goes, well, you're gonna have to. It's like, okay. So she's like, I'm gonna count with you. So she counted all the way to 10 when I was holding my breath, and that helped so much. There's so many different people that I needed at that time, and different influences and personalities and gentleness versus not so gentle, that looking back on it, like, I'm so thankful for like everyone that I had in that process. And I really don't think that things would have turned out the way that they did if I wouldn't. I feel like I probably would have caved in and gotten an epidural, even though that's not what I wanted. I remember there was a point where I was like, I can't do this. I can't do this. Like, this hurts so bad. And I remember someone telling me before I had her, and it popped into my head at that moment. It was when you, there's going to be a point where you're going to say, I'm done. I can't do this. Take this baby out however you can. Give me the epidural. Give me everything. At that point, your baby's going to be out in like 5 seconds, 10 seconds, like it's right there, like it's there. And I was like, okay, it's there. She's there. I know she's there. And so then my nurse came back, and so I had Kira at 6:08, and it was like 5:45, I want to say. And my nurse goes, well, if she doesn't have this baby soon, like I'm gonna have to leave because like I get off shift at 6. And I was like, I grabbed her scruff and I was like, you are not leaving me. I remember saying that. And she's like, well, you better push this baby out then. I
Oh
was
my
like,
gosh.
it was so funny. So the Hungarian lady actually ended up staying in there. And I was crowning. And I remember the doctor saying, oh, she has hair. Like, would you like to see? And I was like, no, I don't want to see that. Like, no. And then he goes, well, you've delivered the hair. Now you just got to deliver the rest. And I was like, what? Does she really have that much hair? Like, oh
Oh
my gosh.
gosh, yeah.
Oh, what am I delivering? Oh my gosh. I forgot the funniest part. In the middle of my labor, they come in and ask me if I
if a student can come in and watch, because I was the only vaginal birth that day. And I was like, I don't care. Like, I don't care who's in here. They could be in here, but I'm going to be half naked. Like, I'm not going to censor myself for someone else being in here. Right. So this guy, a man, decided to the best place to stand would be right over the right shoulder of my OB, staring directly at my vagina. So as I lean up to push and I'm staring at my OB's face, I catch a glimpse of this guy standing right behind him, and it breaks my concentration, like, every time. But this poor man looked petrified, like, so terrified. He was like frozen. I kid you not. I don't think he moved the entire time. And there, it was in between a contraction, and I was like, I need water. I'm thirsty. Like, I need something for my mouth. Like, it feels like my throat is sticking. And I look at this guy. I was like, what are you even doing in here if you're not helping? Like, he just stood there. He didn't even move. I felt so bad later. At the time, I didn't really care. I was more angry that he kept breaking my concentration than anything. And so I had just crowned, another contraction came, and I felt her move out, and then she came back in. It was so frustrating. Like, the first time I was like, oh, that was weird. And then the second time, did it again. And then the third time, did it again. And I was just like, I looked at my OB, I was like, she did it again. She went back in, didn't she? And he goes, yeah, she did. And I was like, I'm so tired. I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. Like, I'm exhausted. I cannot do this. And I'm like crying. The nurse is like, you just gotta get mad and push her out. You just gotta use your anger, push her out, use everything you got. She's almost here. She's right there. And I was like, no, like, you don't understand. Like, I'm so tired and this hurts so bad. I cannot. And Will, I love my husband to death. He almost was killed that day. He looks at me and he goes, it doesn't hurt that bad. Just push her out. And I looked at him and I said, if you say that one more time, you can get the out of my room. And I got so mad at him. There she was. And like, but like, it wasn't that easy. So I had another contraction. And as I was pushing, here comes this Hungarian lady on a stool. She's over top of me, pushing on my stomach to get her out. Mm-hmm. My doctor is like pulling her out. She comes out. They put her on my chest. She's not crying. She kind of whimpered a little bit, but not really. But like, immediately after she was born, Will was like, I'm so sorry. I love you. You did great. trying to make up for it immediately. He's like, I just knew how to get you mad. I'm so sorry. You've done so good. I love you. So they put her on my chest. She wasn't really moving too much. She was kind of ashy gray, purple. The doctor was like rubbing her feet. We wanted to do delayed cord blood clamping, but given the circumstances, that just wasn't an option. So he cut the cord. They took her over to, I called it a spaceship because it kind of looked like a spaceship. I don't know, a little NICU area or like a little baby area. And they had to do assisted breathing on her. So it's a little mask, and they say that it wasn't that long, but like, it was terrifying. Like, it was the longest, like, 10 seconds of my life. And I just remember, like, looking at Will, and he was standing in between me and the baby, and he's, like, so confused on who to go to. And I just looked at him, and I was like, go to her. Like, you need to be with her. And during this time, someone had pushed the code blue button. So then my family is hearing code blue in room whatever room we were in. So they're panicking in the lobby. And then all of these nurses come rushing into my room. Everyone's checking on the baby. They're checking on me, making sure everyone's okay. Will's over with the baby. It was just like so much going on at that time. And then I heard her cry. And it was just like this big, loud, like, oh, thank goodness. And during this time they're working on the baby, the nurse comes over and she's asking me, like, is there anything you need? I was like, I need my mom. Like, I need my mom, because my mom wasn't in there. And Will was with the baby, and I was like, I need my mom. And they're like, what is she wearing? And I was like, she was wearing a peach shirt. And then another nurse goes, no, she changed. She's wearing this shirt. And I'm like, oh God, someone knows. So my mom comes in, and she starts sobbing. I'm sobbing. And she's like, the baby's okay. They're just checking her out right now. And I'm just like, I did it. Is she okay? Like, is everything okay? Like, oh my gosh. I didn't think I was going to cry, because I'm not really like a big crier. I never have been, but I was like sobbing, like so scared. And then they finally bring her back over and then put her on my chest. Like, then she was like whimpering. Mm-hmm. It kind of sounded like a puppy whimper, and like it wasn't subsiding. Like, she wasn't calming down or anything. And I was like, what's wrong? Like, is she okay? And they took her hat off that they had put on her, and because she got stuck and then got sucked back in like four times, she had bruising around her whole head. So like from her eyebrows up was bruised. And so they're like, she has a headache, essentially. It'll subside, but she's probably going to be a little fussy. And I was like, okay. And like, of course, then I'm crying, because I'm like, my vagina did this to you. I'm sorry. Like, I felt so bad. But later come to find out, she got stuck. Her shoulders got stuck, not her head. So we had shoulder dystocia. She had nerve damage in her right shoulder, but she could still move her fingers. I think it was like 2 weeks. And then she started moving her hand up and down. But it was so funny. Like, in that first 2 weeks, she figured out how to undo her diaper, because she could move her hand, but it was like down, because she couldn't move it up. And so she would just like kind of move her fingers and like undid it multiple times. And I blamed Will for not being knowing how to put a diaper on.
Poor Will.
I know. Poor Will. Poor guy. Yeah, it was crazy. And then I delivered my placenta. I remember asking to look at it. I think placentas are so cool. Like,
they're so cool. Yeah,
they are. They're amazing. And he was like, oh yeah, here it is. And he just like held it up, and he's like, did you want to keep it? And I was like, no, it's fine. I just wanted to see it. And no tears, surprisingly enough. I was like, I had a laceration though, next to my urethra, which was, it felt like I was peeing like glass shards. That was not fun. I went to the bathroom and I like relaxed just so I could try to pee. And it like legit felt like my intestines were like going to fall out my butt. And I was like, what in the world is going on? And I was like, I knew like my vagina was going to hurt. Like, obviously I just pushed baby out of it, but like my butt, why did my butt hurt? So my nurse came back in and I told her, and she goes, oh, well, the doctor had to take extreme measures. And I was like, what does that mean? So it turns out my doctor stuck his fingers up my butt to get behind her chin and push her just a little bit more oomph during that time that the Hungarian leader was pushing on my stomach. And so, you know, just stuck his fingers on my butt.
Oh, geez. Goodness gracious. That is a story.
I know. That's why when you asked which birth, or like to tell my births, I was like, which one do you want to get into? Because like both have their own special moments.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Goodness. Yeah. Oh, man. I love all of that. The thing that I truly loved the most about that story is how involved Will was in your whole labor process, because his squeezes were the only ones that were beneficial to you, and the rest of them were whack.
Yeah.
And I also really appreciated you talking about the differences of the personalities that mattered to you throughout your labor, because having that soothing, calm, supportive voice during labor can be really awesome. But during the pushing phase, it sounds like we all need that Hungarian nurse. Right. She was like, and you're going to do it like this.
Yeah. Yeah. She was definitely a beast for sure. I met her later. Like, I've met her since Kira has been older, and she's so sweet, like, but in that moment, she just like pulled out all the stops. She's like, no, this is happening. This is what you need to do, and you're going to do it. I'm like, okay. Don't have to tell me twice.
Right. Yeah. I mean, she just knew that it was needed. And she's like, I got to fill this role now. I got to be this person. Before we dive into your second pregnancy and birth, let's talk about postpartum with Kira. Like, how was that for you? How was the first initial few days? How was breastfeeding? If you decided to breastfeed, how was that?
So we actually got stuck in the hospital for a couple days after her birth because of her shoulder dystocia. They wanted to make sure everything was good and her stats looked great. So I think we were in there for like 2 to 3 days. And then we were discharged and my OB was so wonderful. He didn't let me leave the hospital until my baby left. Like, he didn't want to discharge me unless she was being discharged. And he came back and checked on me every single day, which was so nice. Kira was a champ with breastfeeding. We did have to modify the way that I had to hold her. Because of that shoulder dystocia, it was sore. So when I had to breastfeed her on that side, that would be down, I had to football hold, which was really difficult to do and caused me to get knots in my breast really, really easily. And so I had to make sure to like push on them when she was breastfeeding. I had to massage them for a while. And then pump. I had to pump so much. I like oversupply of breast milk. But I do remember saying that when I was in the hospital, I had a lactation consultant come in. Because of her shoulder, I wasn't entirely sure how to hold her. And like what, because she would just cry if she was like on that shoulder down. And so she came in and showed me different holds and stuff, but she wanted to like do something different with her latch. But like, it wasn't hurting me or anything at that time. So like, I didn't see any need to, but she was very, forceful, I would say. Like, here, you grab the boob, I'll get her head. And I was like, oh. Okay. And like when she did it, it was just like she like shoved her head into my breast, like very forceful. And I did not like that. I'm like, dude, my baby just came out. She got hurt. And now you're like shoving her face into my boob. Like, please stop. Like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
So I just didn't have her come back in after that. But the holds were nice. Like, it was nice to like get different options and stuff. The boppy pillow saved me. And then we were supposed to stay at my mom's house after she was born. But both Will and I had kind of a hard time. Oh yeah, that was another thing. So she failed her newborn screening for her ears. She failed her hearing test and they told us that it might just be amniotic fluid like stuck in there and it just like didn't get squeezed out on the way out, and just give it a couple days or something and come back in for another testing. And I think because of like the intenseness of like the code blue and her getting stuck and then her being hurt and then not passing her test, like both Will and I were like traumatized. Like, we were so on like high alert that we walked into my mom's house and I just sobbed. I was like, I just want to go home. I don't want to be here. Like, I want to be in my safe place. I want my own bed. Like, I just was not comfortable. So of course, like, postpartum mom, like, Will just like scoops my emotional self up and puts me in the car and gets Kira, and we headed home to Ellensburg, and she was a champ the whole way there. And I was just sobbing like the whole way home because I felt bad. Like, I felt bad for the baby, I felt bad for the experience of the birth that we went through, I felt bad for leaving my mom's house, which made, like, at the time I'm like, why would I even feel bad about that? Like, it's like, I just gave birth. Like, it's whatever's comfortable for me, right?
Right.
So then we went to Ellensburg and we just traveled back and forth for appointments. And I actually took my final a week after she was born, took my finals, got my bachelor's degree. as a child life specialist.
Nice.
And she did great. Like that whole week studying, she just like, so she was a little jaundicey. And so like when I would study, we had this huge window in our apartment. I would put her in her boppy and put her in her diaper and just kind of like scoot her in the sunshine. And like, I would just study while she slept. And then when she'd wake up, put her on the boob, change her butt, put her back in the window. Obviously made sure she didn't get sunburned, but yeah, her jaundice cleared up pretty quick. She started using her arm. The only thing I had postpartum that was a problem was the laceration next to my urethra. They were like, oh, spray the Perry bottle at the same time you're peeing. That should help. It did not. Try warm water. That did not. Try cold water. No.
absolutely not.
It started getting to the point where I didn't want to go pee because I knew it was going to hurt. And so then I'm like, to like go pee, like tensing up so much. So I called my OB and I'm just sobbing. I'm like, it hurts so bad. I don't know what to do. And he's like, you need to sit in a bath, like a sitz bath. And I was like, but won't I get an infection? Like I have an open wound and like I just had a baby. Like I shouldn't be putting water up there. And he's like, oh, It doesn't work like that, Darian. And I was like, okay. He's like, don't like fully submerge yourself. Like just to like your butt crack, like not very much water, just a little bit. And do that like 2 to 3 times a day and it'll feel better. And he was not lying. It felt so much better. I don't even remember like how long it took to like not feel like my lady parts were gonna fall off, but you know, it's fine.
Yeah,
it worked.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is, it's such a real thing, you know, like a lot of people, I feel like they kind of forget about the postpartum things that our bodies actually go through postpartum.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like one of the first things people think about is like how our breasts change for breastfeeding and like how our body is healing, like as in like our actual literal vagina healing. But I feel like people don't think much about like, oh, like it could sting when you pee, or oh, your hemorrhoids could feel like your freaking colon is falling out, you know, like even, oh yeah, after you have a baby, it may take a while for your organs to settle back to their place of comfort, you know, all of that. It's so strange.
It's so weird. I remember like the movements of like the organs and like the phantom kicks and like all of that. It grossed me out. Like so
I still get phantom kicks. And it's so funny because I know gosh darn well it's gas. It's so weird.
But then you're like, oh my gosh, like
I know,
wait, what,
like wait, let me look at the calculations, there's no way I'm pregnant, right?
Right. No kidding, where's the calendar? I need the calendar.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So postpartum with her, it went pretty well. We later did find out that she did have hearing loss, so that was her whole childhood and being like a first-time parent has been traumatic. I don't feel like we've ever had like a downtime, like from the time that she was born even to now. This kid keeps us on our feet and on our toes, constantly wondering what's gonna happen next. But she's a sweetheart. She's our Sour Patch Kid. That's what I call her. She's
oh god, I know exactly what that is. Yes. That's Katana for sure. Oh, Yes. Oh, awesome. Well, I'm super happy to hear that everything did end up going well. I am still so in shock that you said your water was broken for one whole week and you were laboring for one whole week.
I know.
In class.
Yeah.
That's insane to me.
Yeah. That's why when people ask me like how long I labored for my first one, I was like, I don't know how to answer that.
Yeah.
I mean, a week
technically, yeah.
Like from the time I started having contractions or when my water broke.
Yeah, so I guess I am curious, when you went in the first time and they said oh, you got to get your bags because you're dilated, like how dilated were you?
I think it was at like a three or a four.
Yeah. And then that was after you thought your water broke, right?
Mm-hmm.
You were at a three.
Yeah.
Goodness. Yeah. Yeah. Cause 3 or 4, like 4 centimeters is like admit status. Like you could potentially be admitted depending on other factors in your labor.
Yeah.
But Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah, that's why he didn't want me leaving town. Because he was like, I don't think you have a day or two left in you. And I was like,
Yeah.
of course.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and dive into your second birth and or pregnancy, which is Owen. So with Owen, let's talk about when you found out that you were pregnant with him. How was that?
Yeah, so we were definitely trying for him. We had not been using birth control, just condoms. We stopped using those for a couple months and like nothing was happening. And then I had a miscarriage. And I was so sad. And I just remember feeling like a huge loss. And feeling like my body had failed me. And like all these emotions that like you go through in that time. And then I continued to have like random stomach pains, like in my belly. And I kept taking pregnancy tests because I was like, well, maybe I'm still pregnant. And like, it was just like another one or something, you know? And they all came back negative, every single one of them. And I was like, okay, well, if this pain like can sit, like continues for another week, like I'm going to go into the doctor because like something's wrong. It continued. And so I went in and, but like, I don't know. I kept having dreams that like I was pregnant and like we were going to find out, blah, blah, blah. And so I went in, I took a pregnancy test the day before, that morning and that night, both were negative. And I was like, oh, I don't know what's going on. Like this is completely, I don't even know. So I like go in here and I'm like, I don't know what's happening. Like, I don't know if I'm pregnant or if I'm not pregnant. I know I had a miscarriage. Like this is, I took a picture because I didn't have it anymore. And so I showed the doctor and he's like, did you give urine? Did we take a pregnancy test today? And I was like, yeah, but it's probably going to come out negative because it always does. And he's like, oh, I'll go check to see what it was. And then he comes back in and I was like, honestly, like I have to be pregnant. Like, could it just be like my organs are like moving around or something? And that's the pain that I feel. And like, I'm like going on this huge rant about how I think I'm pregnant and like my hormones aren't like high enough yet and like all kinds of crazy stuff. And he goes, just casually, like while I'm ranting, he's like, yeah, that's because you're pregnant. And I was like, ha ha ha, so funny. Like, yeah, sure, doc. Like, how would you even know that? And he goes, because the test was positive. And I was like, wait, what? Nuh-uh. And he goes, yeah. He's like, wait, you're making me question myself. Hold on. And he like sticks his head out and is like, is this her test? And they're like, yeah. And so then he comes back and he's like, this is yours. And I just like start crying. And I was like, oh my gosh. So we don't know if like the baby that we lost was Owen's twin or if it was just like a pregnancy. And then Owen's was like right back to back. Cause it was like the following months that we found out we were pregnant with Owen. But at that time I was like 4 to 6 weeks pregnant. So my hormones with both, with Kira too, what don't show up until like 6 weeks or so when I'm pregnant. I tried taking them earlier and they just never showed up. For Owen, I went in for a blood test too. And it came back negative like that week before it was negative. So it was just like all these pregnancy tests are coming back negative. And then that one day it was positive.
Yeah. And so I am so interested. I'm so interested in this timeline here because so you're saying that you experienced a loss and you took a picture of what came and then you were still feeling pain. And then you go in. And so when, how far apart is when you experienced the loss and when you
It was
in?
A month. It was a month.
It was a month apart. And were you intimate between the loss and finding out about Owen?
I remember being very intimate at that time because I was very sad about the loss. It may have happened like once, maybe twice.
Maybe just that, you know, that cuddle love that like that is so interesting because and the reason why I'm so intrigued by this as well is because I have heard of a few times now on the podcast of a threatened miscarriage, right?
What does that mean?
But it usually happens later in the pregnancy from the stories that I've heard. So which is interesting. So a threatened miscarriage is when you do end up experiencing a lot of the symptoms of a miscarriage mm-hmm. and everything, and you're losing blood and everything like that, but baby's actually fine.
That is crazy.
Yeah, it's super interesting, which is why I was thinking about the timing, yeah. the timeline, but a lot of people also experience miscarriages without realizing that they're miscarriages.
Yeah.
Because they think that it's just going to happen, like their period is going to happen, and they're like, oh, this one's just like extra weird. Like
yeah.
a big clump came out this time.
Yeah. You know? So I've had three my whole life, and every single time, like, I mean, I've dropped clots before, like during your period and stuff, but like, every time I've ever had one, I don't know, it feels different. Like the baby that comes out, it's harder. It's more dense. It feels different than just like a clot. So like every time that dropped out, I was like, oh, wait, what? And then I'd look down and it would just be sitting there. And I'm just like, okay, well, that happened. And then the only reason why I know I was pregnant with Owen when that happened is because when we did our ultrasound, like 2 weeks later, he was measuring 6 weeks, but it was weird. So he was measuring six, but they dated us for four because of that loss. They were like, oh, he's probably only like 4 weeks. So then he was measuring 2 weeks ahead my entire pregnancy. And I was like, can we just move my due date? Because I feel like this is not accurate. And they would not move it. They would not budge. I was with the midwife, so I chose to go with a midwife this time, and I was very happy in that choice. I loved my midwife. It was still a midwife that delivers at the hospital through CVCH, but they were so sweet and so kind. My midwife, her name was Lacey, and she was very, like, pro, like, women know their bodies, you guys know what's best, like, you got this, and I loved that. I did have to do my glucose test twice, which was super disgusting. I had to do like the one where you go in and you like take your blood over like a number of hours or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was like, those beds are so uncomfortable for one, like a pregnant lady can't lay on her side on that. It's so small. And it was so cold in there. I had like my snacks on the tray that they like put the speculum on and stuff. And, like sitting there on Netflix, just like letting it play while I'm just chilling. And then they left me in there with the little monitor thing for so you could hear the baby. And so just randomly, I just put gel on my belly and listened to her. Well, got nothing else to do. Might as well listen to him because it was Owen. My pregnancy with him was pretty good. I got car sick a lot, but I never threw up. I didn't really have any cravings with him. I remember being really angry, like had so much testosterone coursing through my veins. Other than that, I was just exhausted all the time. But that could have been because I was chasing another child. I was so tired all the time. And Will, so when I found out at the doctor's office, I didn't tell him right away. I was so proud of myself. I went to Target and got Kira this pink shirt and it said, oh gosh, like the best big sister or something on it. It was super cute. And then the doctor wrote a prescription and was like, congratulations, you're dad or something on it. It was really cute. And so he was out in the garage when I got home and I like took Kira in the house and I was like, here, put this on. I was like, here, go give this to daddy. And so she went and gave it to Will and I got to record it and everything. And he looked at me and he goes, are you serious? And I was like, yeah. He's like, no way. That's crazy. And I was like, he's like, I knew something was up because you didn't call me after the doctor's appointment. Darn it. So that was fun to get to do that. And Kira was really excited to have a baby. She kept saying she wanted a baby sister. So that was kind of, she was really sad. So this was COVID during this time when we found out. And so we couldn't do a gender reveal. So what I did is I got cupcakes and then I gave them to family members. And then we all opened them together. And then we recorded Kira's. And she usually like dives right into like goodies like that. And she was so delicate and like picking like little pieces off of it. And I was just like, oh my gosh, Kira, seriously? I was like, just now dive into it.
Yeah. And so finally she dove into it and I was like, what color is that? And she goes, blue. And I was like, does that mean you are going to have a brother? And she goes, no. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's you're going to have a baby brother. And she goes, oh, it's like kind of, and I was like, oh, it's okay. You'll get used to him. But my pregnancy with him was pretty good. I got really big with him, like uncomfortably big. Before I got pregnant with him, I was sitting at about like 160, I want to say, 165, 170. And then when at the end of my pregnancy, I was over 200 pounds because I gained so much weight, had so much water retention. My ankles got huge. He's a July baby, so I was so hot. I was miserable. And Will was still wildland firefighter at this time. So he was gone on fires a lot, which really sucked.
Especially during the summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it was like 36 weeks, I want to say. They were like, hey, like he's still measuring big. Because of this, like we want to, I went in for multiple ultrasounds throughout my whole pregnancy to measure him and stuff. And they were like, we want you to consult with an OB. Like we already have a plan in place in case you want to continue with the midwives to deliver. We'll just have an OB there on call just in case you get stuck or you need a C-section or whatnot. And I was like, what? I'm not having a C-section. Like that's not happening. And they're like, well, we want you to consult with an OB just to be safe. And I was like, okay, fine. Well, the OB that I had with Kira had retired. So then I had to find one, which was a headache. So I finally found one that I was okay with. When it comes to OBs, like Dr. Pitts, I loved his style. Like he was straightforward, didn't sugarcoat things, told me how it was. Like if I was bleeding to death on the table, like I know he would say, do not move. You're bleeding to death. Like don't move. And that's like what I need. I need the truth. I need the honest truth right there in the moment. And so I was kind of shopping around for that because I knew I liked it. And so I found one that was close to it. And he took one look at my belly and the ultrasounds. And he goes, you're not pushing this baby out. Because if we remember from my other birth, I forgot to tell you her weight and everything. So Kira was 714. She was 21 inches long and her shoulders were 12. Okay. And she got shoulder dystocia. So now coming to Owen, they are telling me that this baby is estimated 9 pounds and there's no way I can push him out because she got shoulder dystocia and got stuck at 714. And I'm just like, I don't know what to do here. Like I felt so stuck. I did not want a C-section. They told me that I could continue with a vaginal birth, try to do that. But if he got stuck, they would need to sedate me and go have a C-section and I would miss the birth of my son. And I was like, I don't like that. Like, I don't like that at all. So yeah, I had like a week to think on it before I had to go see the OB again and get on his schedule, like if that's what I wanted to do. And I just cried the entire week. Like I was so sad. I did not want to have a C-section, but I also didn't want to miss the birth of my son. I didn't want to hurt him like I hurt Kira or worse. So we chose to do a C-section, which was heartbreaking. I was so sad. I felt once again like my body had failed me. But then I like also felt like they were lying. Like I also felt like, I totally could have done that. It was only because Kira had no fluid. Like she had no amniotic fluid. Like maybe it was the wrong position or the fact that my cervix like swelled at 9. Who knows? It could be different this time, right? I don't know. Who knows? Yeah. If it would have been different. I mean, yeah.
It's so hard to say. Regardless of which way the advice is given or what recommendations are being made, each person's baby is so different, you know, and there's no guarantee that your baby is huge, like they say, or tiny, like they say. I wouldn't be surprised if Owen was 9 pounds. You know, how much did Owen weigh?
8'6".
Eight, six.
And his shoulders were 15.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's a blessing in disguise that we ended up getting a C-section. I feel now, looking back, I'm happy that we went that route. Not happy with my experience going into the C-section. It was chaos.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, it was during COVID, and so I could have one person up there, or two. One just to be in the room, and then Will, and that was it. And at first, they told me that they didn't know if Will was going to be able to be in the C-section with me, and I was like, well, that's not happening. Like, he will be in there. So we figured that out. He had already had his vaccine and everything. So they were comfortable with that. He had no symptoms, any of that. So we were in the room. My mom was there with us, and we like walk in. It was so weird. It was so different from Kira's, like, oh, I'm in labor, let's go. It was like, okay, we have an appointment. Let's casually make our way to the hospital. And like, I couldn't eat at a certain time. So by the time we got to the hospital, like, I was hangry, about to rip everyone's faces off because I wanted to eat them. And so we get there, and my mother-in-law kept Kira. And so my mom was there, and we were sitting in the room. They put an IV in, and I was already dressed. Will was just hanging out. I was trying to keep my anxiety in check and like randomly crying. And we still hadn't seen the OB. Our nurse, I could not understand a word she was saying. Once again, another Hungarian lady. Different than the first one. But like, I couldn't understand what she was saying. Like, her the accent of this lady was so heavy. And then with the mask, it was even worse. Like, I did not know what she was saying. I was like, I am so sorry. Like, I have really bad anxiety right now. I don't know what you're saying. Like, can you please talk to my mom or my husband? Because I don't know what you're saying, and I'm just getting frustrated. And so she started talking to them instead. And then my mom started talking about COVID in the room, and she's like going off on like a tangent, and I look over at her and I say, this is not helping me, so if you want to continue talking about COVID, you can leave. I was like, I am having a really hard time keeping my anxiety in check and keeping my stuff together. I don't need that right now, please. Yeah. I was so frustrated, and then I felt bad, of course, because like, you don't want to talk to your mom like that. But like, come on, man. That's not the time or the place. And then the anesthesiologist comes in, very quiet guy, and he's just like talking to me, and I just like instantly start sobbing. And I could tell he's uncomfortable because he like kind of took a step back, and
he's like, oh crap.
What did I do? What did I do? Yeah. And I was like, don't worry about me. I just really didn't want to have this. And now I'm here. I'll be fine. So he just went over the regular stuff, like allergies, blah, blah, blah. And was like, okay, well, I'll see you in there. Finger guns. Like,
did okay. He really do finger guns?
Yes. Finger guns. Yeah. And his scrub hat had wiener dogs on it. I remember that. From all of this, I was like, oh my gosh, I have a wiener guy, like wiener dog guy, like looking after me, like great. And then finally, my OB guy, Dr. Gatlin, comes in. He's late because I was supposed to have my C-section at like 12. So he's like, okay, well, is she done with her antibiotics? And the nurse is like, no, we haven't even, like, she's not done yet. He was like, okay, well, she should have been done already. Like, you should have hooked her up already. So then they're fighting about this antibiotic stuff. And she's like, well, the anesthesiologist wants her to be completely done before she goes to the OR. And he goes, well, that's not her call, his call. That's my call. And I'm the OB. So let's go. And I was just like,
Wow, that is such a tense environment to just like roll into.
It was horrible. So she like gets me hooked up to my antibiotics, and I'm just like, is it time to go? And she's like, yep,
And I was like, okay, well, do I have to ride on the bed or can I walk? And she goes, oh, you can walk. And I was like, okay, cool. So this lady takes my bags off of the cart thing. She's not even, it's not up there. So she's like leading me by my IVs. Like she's not walking next to me. Mm. She's walking in front of me. And so then she takes me through the double doors. And then I see like the recovery rooms on the side. And so I stop and I'm like, oh, are these the recovery rooms? Because she's not talking to me like while we're walking down the hallway. There's no conversation happening. And I was like, oh, are these the recovery rooms? And she's like, yep, those are them. And then she's like kind of leading me. And she's like, this is where baby will be. And like just leading me. And then we get to the surgical doors. They open up. She walks through and I stopped immediately. I like froze. I could not move at all. And I forgot this part. So I talked to them because I am very nervous about getting things put into my spine, which is why I didn't want an epidural. And I was very nervous about them numbing me from the waist down by going into my spine. And so I tried to get my husband to be in there during that time because I don't know any of this, these staff. Like right. I've never met the nurse that I'm laboring with, never met the OB except for once beforehand. I do not feel comfortable with these people. And they were like, no, sorry, we can't have your husband in there, but maybe your midwife can be in there. And I was like, heck yeah, I'll take a midwife. I've met all of them. You go through all of them during all your appointments. Sounds great. There's not one that I don't like. And so thankfully she like came in, her name was Hannah. She's from Minnesota. She's so sweet. She came in, scooped my arm into her arm and she goes, okay, are we ready to do this? And I said, no, I am not ready to do this. Like, I mean, I'm looking into this room and there's tables on tables of surgical tools. The bed's right in the middle. There's lights over top. There's the baby stuff over in the corner. But it is so overwhelming coming into that and being led into it by your IV. Like, oh my gosh, it was horrible. And so she's like, okay, what can we do here? Like, would you like me to walk you and you can just look down at your feet? And I was like, yeah, I can do that. Let's do that. So I just look down at the floor. She guides me to the table where I need to be. I get up on the table. I have no pants on. I just have the gown thing that they have me put on. Right. And so I'm sitting with my legs together and I have this big belly. So I'm kind of leaned back a little bit. The anesthesiologist is like, okay, I need you to lean forward. And I was like, okay. So I'm like trying to reposition so I can get my legs spread apart so my belly will fit. Mm-hmm. And the Hungarian lady was like, whoa, 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 what are you doing? And I was like, well, I have this ginormous baby belly in the front, if you haven't noticed, and I have to move my legs apart in order to bend forward. At this point, I was not being very nice to her. She was not very kind to me and was frustrating me at this point. And I was angry on top of it all. It was just not a good day. So my midwife is standing in front of me. The anesthesiologist is prepping my back. She has my head kind of cradled in her like elbow, I guess, like the crook of her elbow. So like my forehead is just right there. And then she's like rubbing my back, like my shoulders. And this nurse, okay, she comes over and she's tapping my shoulders. And she's like, relax, relax, relax. I was like, if you touch me one more time, I swear to God, lady. I was like, do not tap me. And so then my midwife is like, okay, can you please step away? Like, ask her to step away before I just rip her little face off. And so then she was like rubbing my shoulders and like telling me that I got this. And like, oh my gosh, her voice was just so calming and so soothing. During that time, like her little yogi voice is what I called it. And she was like, you are amazing. Like you have done so much more than this for your children. Like you have got this. And the whole time I'm like, I don't want to do this. I don't got this. I don't want to do this. Like right. saying this out loud. And she's like, you got this. You got this. It's just like crying. And then it was like crazy. So put it in there. And then immediately they lay you down, your legs go completely numb. And it was so weird, like watching them move my legs, but like not being able to feel it. And I am a person who likes control. So like that was freaky. And I told myself going into the C-section, like I wasn't going to try to move my legs because that would have freaked me out more than anything.
And so I just kept reminding myself, don't try to move your legs. Don't try to, don't do it. Just don't. Like, it's not going to go well. And so, like I said, we were running behind, right? So they lay me down, they get the sheet up so I can't see anything. And they're already prepping me, like getting everything going down there. And I was like, where's my husband? Like, my husband is not in here. And I'm nervous, so I'm asking people to, like, hold my hand, talk to me, like, tell me everything. Anesthesiologist ain't cutting it because he's shy as shoot. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, this guy is, like, giving me nothing. He had two dogs. Guess what kind of dogs they were? Wiener dogs. It was from out of town, just traveling anesthesiologist. Had nothing cool, eccentric to say. So the lady who takes the baby after the baby's born and, like, cleans it up, all that good stuff, comes over and she's talking to me. She had 13 kids. She adopted 7 of them, and all different ages, a bunch of them about, like, grown up. Like, she was just telling me all kinds of stuff. And I, oh my God, I loved her so much. So I got to hear her life story before my husband even came in. And as wow. they're bringing him in, they're like, hey, if you're squeamish, don't look to the left, because the doctor had already started. So he had already started cutting me open before my husband even got in there.
Mm.
So finally Will's in there. And so Owen was so low down in my pelvis that the doctor had to reach his hand in, push him back. And then my midwife pushed on his butt and pulled him out. So there was so much jarring in my midsection, and it was so weird. Like, feeling those tugging motions, but, like, not being able to move my body myself. So they pulled him out, and then the anesthesiologist was like, let me know if you start to get nauseous. So, of course, I started to get nauseous. And I was like, I'm getting nauseous, but I can't have Zofran, which is, like, the normal one, because I break out in, like, hives all over my body, because why not? Mm. And so he's, like, pushing all these other nausea meds. First one lasted, like, a few seconds, and I was like, I'm still nauseous. Like, I'm getting nauseous again. So he pushed another one, still nauseous. And so then he pushes the last one. It takes care of it. But then I start feeling like I can't stay awake. Like, I'm having a hard time staying awake, and I'm, like, fighting to stay awake. And I have the baby on my chest because I requested skin to skin, even though I was having a C-section. So they had my gown switched around. I opened it up. He laid straight on my chest. Will was helping me hold him because I was so tired. And I was like, what is going on? And I remember asking my doctor, I was like, hey doc, how's it going? Like, I'm having a hard time staying awake. Like, I feel like I'm fighting to stay awake right now. And he was like, everything's going good down here. Just sewing up layer number 5. And I was like, oh, gross. Okay. Sounds good. Thanks. And when they pulled the baby out, they lowered the drape so Will could look over, but they didn't cover everything before they pulled it. Like, anyways, Will saw my insides. So, like, that was, like, a whole new, like, level of our relationship. Like, you have literally seen my insides.
Yes.
And you still love me from the inside out? and he's like, yeah, I definitely could have gone without seeing that, but it's okay. It's okay. And he, like, got some pictures of him, like, when he first came out, but everything was hidden at that point, thankfully. I wouldn't look at those photos for the longest time. I didn't want to look at my incision. I didn't want to touch it. I was so nervous about it. And that all got done. They took the baby. I met them back in recovery. Owen latched on immediately, like, crazy. Mm-hmm. And of course he started screaming immediately when he came out, no assisted breathing. It was wonderful in that sense. Latched on so great. I was still a little in and out. I remember everything, but I also remember my nose being really itchy because the medicine that they put in your spine has, is it like morphine or something in it? I don't know. It's one of the drugs that makes me and Kira, when we get it, our noses super itchy. And then, so one nurse told my mom that she could come back to the recovery and see the baby before she left, but she could not go into the other room with us and be there because of COVID. So my mom came back, saw the baby, and then we got in trouble because another nurse told my mom that she could come back. So then my mom got escorted out. It was just, like, a whole mess.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that all got sorted out. And then we went back to the room. They came and pushed on my belly several times, and it was that Hungarian lady, and it did not make me very happy. I got discharged the following day because I did all the things that they wanted me to. I wasn't on any of the narcotics. I was walking around, passed bowel movement, farted, all that good stuff. Everything sounded great. My blood had decreased a lot. So they're like, yeah, if you feel like you're ready to go home, go home. I was like, cool. So we went home. Definitely was too soon. Do not recommend going home the day after you have a C-section.
I was honestly surprised to hear that they let you go.
Yeah.
Like the next day. That's surprising to me.
Mm-hmm. It was, we got discharged. So we ended up having him. So we got in, like I said, we were late getting in there, right? So Owen was born at like 12:08 or 12:10. So it only took the doctor 10 minutes to get him out. Less than that, even, because we were late.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So it was just quick. Yeah.
Yeah. It was crazy quick. Yeah. Got home super sore, very uncomfortable. Kept forgetting that I had a C-section. Also didn't know, I don't know why I didn't think of this, but still bleed out of your vagina if you've had a C-section, just so everyone knows. Mm-hmm. I was like, woohoo, get to totally miss that. And they're like, no. And I was like, oh, what? So still had to do that, which sucked. but was terrified to look at my incision. But Owen was—he was a champ. Breastfeeding was super easy with him. He breastfed all the time though. Like for the first 8 weeks, it was constant. I was so tired. During that first 8 weeks, like I was still bleeding like crazy. Like my 6 week postpartum, I was still bleeding. I had like random gushes of blood. Like if I was up and moving a bunch, like I would get crazy gushes. And I was like, what in the world's going on? Like this doesn't feel normal. My stomach was super tender. Nothing. And then 8 weeks, they're like, nope, you're good. Just go about your normal day. Put the kids in the double stroller when I got home. Went for like a mile walk. Got home. Started up my driveway. And then these clots, I could just feel it dropping. And I started getting really lightheaded and dizzy. Mm. And I was like, okay, something's wrong. Like, this does not feel right. And so my midwife that I had me go up to labor and delivery in the hospital. And they checked my blood count. And my white count was a little high, but not like crazy high. Because she was thinking that I had a uterine infection. She was like, yeah, you can just go home and we can watch it if you want. And I was like, you know what? I'm here. Why don't we do an ultrasound if you don't mind? Just to make sure everything's hunky-dory in there, you know? Well, there was 5 centimeters of matter, whether that was the placenta or what it was, that got left in there. So my body was trying to expel it, and I was essentially bleeding internally for 8 weeks and didn't know, which is why my stomach was super sensitive. And so then I had to have a DNC. Which was not great. So 8 weeks postpartum, have to go back under. I was like, well, I just had dinner, so you guys can't put me under. So then they wanted to do a spinal tap again. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. That was terrifying. And the guy came in and he's like, it'll be super quick. It's not as long lasting as the other one. It doesn't have to go as high. It'll be so fast. I was like, okay, I trust you, but I swear, like, dude. Anyway, so did that. Very uncomfortable. Don't recommend it. They did an ultrasound at the same time, and the lady had the screen like facing me. Well, the doctor was like digging in there, and I was like, hey, would you mind like turning that away from me? And she's like, oh, is everything okay? And I was like, yeah, I'd just rather not see her digging inside of me because that's very uncomfortable. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't even think about that. And I was like, yeah, that's not great.
Yeah, it's not like you're looking at a beautiful baby, you know? It's
a
legit procedure of the scraping. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The scraping and the vacuum sounds. Oh, anyways. Why not? And then, got out of that. My stomach was no longer tender. Owen stopped breastfeeding back to back. And I was just like, oh my gosh, my son saved me, because if he hadn't been breastfeeding so much, my cervix and everything wouldn't have been contracting and like trying to expel that.
Mm-hmm. He knew.
He knew.
You know?
He knew.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. It's crazy. It was like mind-blowing, like how big of a difference, like less than 24 hours, like I had more energy. I wasn't bleeding as much. My stomach wasn't tender. It was so tender to the point where I couldn't lay him on my stomach to breastfeed. Like I had to always lay on my side. And every time I laid on my side, it felt like my organs were like shifting. And like, so I got one of those things, like the wraps that were supposed to help, like after you have a C-section, make it feel like your organs aren't falling out. But it didn't help. It just hurt even worse. Because my body was going through some stuff. So, yeah, that was about that. And then from that point on, it's been hunky-dory. And then he got a tooth when he was 5 months old. Christmas morning. Merry Christmas to me while I was breastfeeding. And that was different. His latch completely changed. And he's 5 months old, so he doesn't understand, hey, don't bite mommy, that hurts. So that was a whole new journey, honestly, on its own. But yeah. Oh, okay. Back to his pregnancy a little bit. I completely forgot. During his pregnancy, I was also under crazy amounts of stress because Kira has a rare, like, terminal genetic disease. And so Owen had a 25% chance of having it. And so we had a choice to do an amniocentesis, but that could have caused a miscarriage. And because I had had one like not that long ago, I wasn't comfortable and neither was my husband getting the amniocentesis. So we're like, okay, whatever happens, happens. Like, we're just kind of putting it up to God and hoping that this beautiful baby does not have this disease and this is not what we're gonna have to go through. But I was under so much stress and like just worrying if that was the right thing to do and like constantly just like, oh my gosh, what is this gonna look like? Two kids going to Minnesota to get a bone marrow transplant, having to put him through chemo. Like, we had to put Kira through chemo when she was 14 months old. Like, it was so much in 9 months that like, I feel like I blocked a lot of it out. And I just remember being really hot and uncomfortable. Like, and I'm so sad that I didn't get to enjoy my last pregnancy. But that's okay. He is not affected. He does not have the same disease that she has. And it's just, it all worked out for the best. And we're just chugging along.
Chugging along. I think that's a great way to put it, because life throws at you what it throws at you, you know, and you just gotta go with it.
Like, I know.
Gosh.
Yeah. Grandma,
what is the name of Kira's disease so that I could just put it out there as informational resource?
So it's called Hurler syndrome. So H-U-R-L-E-R or MPS1. It has another really long name. Mucopolysaccharidosis is the actual name, but MPS for short.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. We'll definitely put some info on that as well, just so people can kind of read about what you had to go through in order you know, support her.
Yeah, and since Kira's birth, I'm happy to report that Washington State has a screening for MPS on the newborn screening. So that little poke that your baby gets, they now screen for it. But we missed it with Kira. So she was born in May, and they started it in October of 2018. Mm. So we missed it. We just missed it. Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome that's added.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
And, you know, because a lot of people do get concerned, like, I don't want to poke my baby, like, because they don't want to hurt them, you know. But it could be really helpful and good information to collect.
Honestly, if we would have known sooner, like, we would have been able to be definitely more proactive with her treatment. We think that her heart wouldn't have been as damaged as it is now. She has a mitral valve prolapse, so she'll have to have heart surgery. There's so many things structurally, like, she wouldn't have as many deposits on her bones, and there's so many things that early intervention definitely would have helped. But I mean, we didn't find out till she was 14 months old, so we were definitely a lot longer than most people nowadays that find out. So,
Well, goodness, Darian, like both of your births are so traumatic. They're so different. I mean, yeah, if you feel that they are traumatic, yes, like, you know, that's what they are. Like, I would never put that on anybody's birth, you know, like, because there are people that have really intense births, but they wouldn't consider it traumatic. They would consider it something else. But
yeah,
if you, like, from the sounds of it, both of them were very traumatic for you. The things that you are bringing up and focusing on, not focusing on, but bringing up, the things that, like, you hold stayed close to your heart. Longest. Yeah. The things that stayed with you the longest is, like, how you were treated and cared for throughout your pregnancies and in your labors and in your births, you know, like, you didn't get the chance to have that trial of labor with Owen, but the whole leading up to even just going into the OR to have this amazing life-changing moment was stressful.
Yeah.
You know,
it was insane. Like, how stressful.
And it didn't help that you had to do all of that during COVID.
No.
So
I know it was not awesome. It's definitely made me think of, like, a career path into labor and delivery and whatever that might look like, whether it's doula or midwife or RN. Like, I definitely want to be on that side of things, because I do think that women deserve to be heard and valued. And I mean, no one knows you better than yourself. Like, it is your body. You have lived with it the longest. I really just feel like women need to be more empowered about that, because I don't feel like we are. I mean, at all. Like, you're supposed to listen to the doctors. The doctors know best, right?
Yeah.
Not all the time.
The doctors are human too.
They are. Yeah, exactly. Too. Yeah. Yeah, I agree 100%. I guess calling my birth traumatic may have been a little extreme. Like, I don't feel like the whole thing was super traumatic. I definitely feel like it had, like, these big moments, kind of like you said, that really stuck with me. Like, Kira's labor, not the week-long labor, like the one that went in the hospital, like, it wasn't horrible. Like, as long as Will was pushing on my back, like, it was not bad. And then Owen's was different, mainly because I was hoping and, like, grasping onto this, like, hope of, like, hey, I get to, like, do this right this time. Like, this baby's not going to get stuck. This baby's not going to have shoulder dystocia. Like, I hyped myself up my entire pregnancy. And then 2 weeks before I have him, so he was delivered when I was 39 weeks. On the dot, because he was measuring 2 weeks ahead and he was almost 9 pounds. And then it was just like my dreams and, like, my hopes were, like, shattered 2 weeks before. And so, like, I didn't have time to, like, reset myself and be like, oh, this is what I want. This is what I'm going to do. It was just like, nope, this is how it is. I'm like, okay, I just got to grin and bear it at that point. Right.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, it's definitely something that's hard to process, because there's a deadline, you know, even if you didn't have a C-section scheduled, the deadline is 42 weeks, maybe, if you went to as far as people usually quote unquote allow women to be pregnant, or people to be pregnant in general. So yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah,
Darian, I am very, 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 very honored that you shared both of your stories with me. I'm super excited to actually put this out into the world, because they deserve to be heard and people deserve to hear your story and know that what you've experienced, I'm sure other people have as well, and you're not alone in it. And I love hearing it, and I want to hug you. I wish I hugged you stronger before I left last weekend.
I know. Well, I appreciate you having me on here and getting to tell my story. I love all things birth, and I love being able to share my stories and my experiences, and as challenging as they have been, I've learned a lot, and passing that knowledge on is all you can do.
Yeah, that's true. Well, before we round this off, I would love to ask you two questions. One question is, if you could describe, we kind of talked about this, but if you could describe your both pregnancies, labors and births with one word, what would that word be?
Happiness. Joy. I loved being pregnant. I always cracked jokes up when I was pregnant. Like when I would be swimming, I'd be like, hey, look, I'm a human submarine. Like, mm-hmm. just because I mean, I'm never going to be able to do that again. I took so many photos of my pregnant belly, and I just honestly I miss it. I miss being pregnant. I loved being pregnant. I loved it. It was awesome.
Well, good. I'm glad you have that.
Just the joy and excitement of meeting this little thing that I've been growing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
really cool.
It is really awesome.
Yeah.
The last question that I have for you, and I did not prepare you for this ahead of time, is do you potentially have a resource that worked really well for you during your pregnancies that you would want to share for any listeners out there?
I think honestly, like the most important thing is just to get in touch with your body. Get to know it, know what's going on in it, and be your own advocate. Mm-hmm. Because you are the only one that knows your body as well as you do. And if you can't be your own advocate, get someone that knows you and that can be that advocate for you. Because in those moments, like, I wish someone would have told those people, no, she doesn't want a student in there. Because I didn't want a student in there. Like, he was petrified.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just be your own advocate. Know your body. Your body knows what to do, even if you haven't thought about it. I mean, this is what we were made to do.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Darian. Thank you again. I really appreciate it. Throughout the time that I was interviewing Darian, I was so surprised to hear some of the things that she went through throughout her pregnancies. The most shocking things to me were the fact that she went one whole week with her water broken, and that could have been so bad. She could have gotten a uterine infection. She could have lost Kira. And the second was that they let her go home the next day after a cesarean, and they didn't even pay attention to how much blood she was losing, and she really could have died. And I believe Darian when she said that her son Owen saved her because of the constant nursing to expel whatever 5 centimeters of matter was left inside of her. Darian, thank you so much for sharing your stories with me, and I'm sorry that you had to go through all of that crazy stuff, but as you said at the end, you're so happy to have made 2 beautiful humans, and I'm so excited to share your story with the world. So thank you. Next week, I am honored to say that we are going to hear an interview from Erica Davis. Erica Davis is the owner of Whole Body Pregnancy. Erica talks about her own journey of conception as well as the birth of her baby. So tune in next week to hear all of the juicy details about how Erica became a parent and to hear what she is offering through Whole Body Pregnancy for both birthing families and birth providers.